This week's Shurim have been sponsored by Family Grossman, Le'ilu Nishmas, Reb Chaim Yosef, Ben Yisachar Dov, Zichrono Levracha.
Daled Av, Thursday the 11th of July, Rabbi Benji Morgan, Light in the Darkness.
Good morning, everyone. I remember when I was a child, then this tekufa, you know, people would always ask, are you waiting for Mashiach? He'd say, yeah, for sure waiting for Mashiach. Do you want Mashiach to come? Yeah. Just let him come after camp, after the summer holidays. And, you know, you walk around the streets during these 3 weeks, and people, there's one topic which was in everyone's mind. After the Churban, the second topic is, no, so where are you going? And there's this great conversation, a mindset, an actual sort of pachad and fear that we have of being Amatzarim, of engaging with being Amatzarim. It's almost like we take a deep breath at the beginning, we learn all the halachas of the Shah Sakana, and we take a deep breath and hope that our clothes will stay fresh long enough, and that we won't suffer too much, and that hopefully on the other side we'll come out and we'll survive. But in Maisa, when one looks at the Svarim about the opportunity that is available to us during these 21 days, then actually we find some very fascinating things. And that is what I wanted to maybe elaborate and look at today. So Rav Dessler brings down, and it's from the Arizal, that the 21 days, the 3 weeks, that we are now holding between Shivas V'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av correspond to the 21 days that begin on Rosh Hashanah and end on Simchas Torah. Almost an unbelievable contrast between what we would describe as the highlight of our year to one of our lows. The Mishenichnas Av Mamadim B'Simcha surely hardly resembles the Simcha of Simchas Torah, or the highlight of a davening of Hamelech and Rosh Hashanah. What are those 21 days, and how can they even be compared to and responded to in a way that we can even consider them something equal? We know the Pasuk in Eicha, where Tisha B'Av is called Korelai Moed Lishbor Bachurai, where Tisha B'Av is called the Moed. And there's many Torahs which have been said to try and understand why Tisha B'Av, of all days in the Jewish calendar, are called the Moed. Because that, again, is hardly a way that we would describe a Yom Tov. Sitting on the floor, not greeting someone. What type of Moed is Tisha B'Av? See, this fundamentally goes to a deeper understanding of how we engage with sorrow, how we understand darkness, how we engage with challenge, and actually what I would like to describe it as is almost the Aristotle versus Abraham. Aristotle wrote many things, but one of the three laws which he said were as follows. Law number one was the law of identity. The law of identity means that A is not non-A, which means that I am not you, which I think we would all agree with is probably true. Then the second law is the law of contradiction, which means that both, that not only is A, but also A can't be A and B at the same time. Which brings us to the law of the excluded middle. A cannot be A and non-A, or neither A or non-A. So to put this in the layman's terms, the law of identity means that I am me. The law of the contradiction is that A is not non-A, which means I am me, and you are you, but I am not you and you are not me. And the law of the excluded middle means that I can't be both myself and you at the same time. It is impossible for the same thing at the same time to belong and not belong to the same thing in the same respect. This then, says Aristotle, is the most certain of all principles. And this is in fact how we live our lives. But what we're going to discover today is that this is the makor of Churban. Churban, as Aristotle taught it to the Western world, is the idea that I am not you and you are not me. And I cannot be you at the same time as being me. And therefore, when I speak Lashon Hara, I am not you and you are not me. When I have Sinas Chinam, I can hate you because you are not me and I am not you. When we talk about Aristotle versus Abraham, it's because what Avraham Avinu brought to the world, and in fact the very root of what Yiddishkeit is, what we're going to discover is the complete opposite ideology of what Aristotle has given and his gift to the world. Let's take a step and have a look at a question. Mishenichnasav mamatim besimcha. Mishenichnasador marbin besimcha. Two complete opposites, seemingly opposites. On the other hand, we're told that Yom Kippur, which we, up until now, were led to believe is the most kodesh day of the year, is brought down in the Yerushalmi and Megillah, and in other places too, that Nevi'im Kesuvim Asidim Livotel, V'chamesha Sifrei Torah Anasidim Livotel, Zoktrei Shlokish Af Megillas Esther, Einon Asidim Livotel. That from all the Yom Tovim that are going to remain, Purim is going to remain. And it's brought down in the Sforim, they bring it from the Tikkuni Zohar and Zainon base, that Purim Iskarias Al Shem Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur and Purim have a relationship. Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. Again, two seemingly diametrically opposed days. One where we're sitting, we're davening, we're not engaging, we're not eating, we're not drinking. No materialism at all. And then the Chai Vinish Livasume, the Puraya, of when we completely engage with the world. So why am I saying this? Is because what Aristotle taught us was that these should have absolutely nothing to do with each other. But the engagement that we have during these 3 weeks is actually dependent on an ideology that is completely contrast to Aristotle. You see, Aristotelian logic is the complete opposite of paradoxical logic. Now, what does paradoxical logic mean? Paradoxical logic states that opposites do not exclude each other, rather they arise simultaneously. Not that A is not non-A, but in fact that A is only A because there is B. So let me explain where I'm coming from. In Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech says, "V'ro'isi ani sheyesh yisrein lachochva min hasichlus ki yisrein ha'or min hachoshech." So Shlomo HaMelech, I can see that there's an advantage to Chochma over Sichlus, over something foolish. Ki Yisrein Ha'or Min Achishech, like light, there's an advantage of it over darkness. So the Sforim bring down from the Zohar in Parashas Tazria, Tafnem Zainon Beis, that Rav Chiya asked the question, do we need Shlomo HaMelech to teach us that Yesh Yisrein the Chochma Min Asichlus? Do we need Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, to tell us that, you know what? Wisdom is better than folly. Light is better than darkness. Ask Subhia, do we need Shlomo HaMelech to tell us that? The Chochma Mikol Adam? Says Subhia, no. What Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Sheyesh Yisrael Mechochma Min Asichlus, is the makor of what Yiddishkeit actually stands for. What he's saying is that actually Chochma only emanates from the fact that there is Sichlus. Oyer, light, only emanates from the fact that there is darkness. So Shlomo HaMelech, Ro'isi Anishi Yesh Yisrein L'Chochma Min HaSichlus, I can see that there's a Yisrein L'Chochma only because there is Sichlus. I can, Ke Yisrein Ha'or Min HaChoshech, in the same way that you can only feel light in its contrast to darkness. You know, there's a famous picture of the two faces and a cup. So when you ask people, what do you see when they see this picture? Some people will say two faces, other people will say a cup. What is that picture? Is it the faces or is it the cup? So Aristotle would say, you've got two faces, they're talking to each other. Let's say these faces are black and the vase in the middle is white. The two faces would look at each other and they'd say, you know what? Why can't the whole world be black? Wouldn't it be better if everyone was black? The white vase might say to itself, in Aristotle's words, the law of identity. A is not non-A. You don't need the black in order to have the white. Surely we could just make the whole paper white. Well, Shlomo HaMelech, what he's saying is that actually the only reason why these faces are black is because there is a white vase. And the only reason why there's this white vase is because these two faces are black. The Zohar says that the same thing, what makes the sweet sweet? It's the bitter. Without the bitter, surely we would say, why do we need to have bitter in our lives? Surely it would be so much better if we just had sweet. Zokhtub Yitzchok, no. What makes the sweet sweet? It's the bitter. That means when we give our children food for the first time, and they're tasting something, what makes it sweet for them? If they've never had anything sour, it will not be sweet. It's only because there is sour, there is contrast, and then you have something sweet. Wow. That's amazing. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Shlomo HaMelech didn't come to just say that Chochmah is better than Sichlus. We don't need Shlomo HaMelech to say that. He's saying is that, like the Gemara says, a person should always start off a Shia with a Milsa B'dichusa, because then the contrast of his Chochmah versus his Kasilus, then that's felt. So the idea is not, says Avraham Avinu, the idea, up until Avraham Avinu, there was such a thing as religion. Up until Avraham Avinu, there was such a thing as Kedusha, so to speak. There was such a thing as spirituality. But Avraham Avinu was the first person who says, you know what, we can find Kedusha within Gashmias, within Chomris, within materialism itself. We can engage with this world, and through that bring out an even greater light. Whereas still today, the majority of religions look at engagement with materialism, engagement with wine, as the drink of the devil, or something which you should try and run away from. We make Kiddush on Friday night on wine. Why? Because Ra'isi Ani Sheish Yisrael L'Chochma Menaksilus. Which means that we understand that actually, if we can take wine, says Avraham Avinu, and we can Mekadosh that, that's Kedusha. To take Chomrius and Ruchnius and engage in that darkness and then to bring out an even greater light, that's paradoxical logic. That's the aim of everything that we do. When I sometimes explain to people what Shabbos is for the first time, they say, so what do? You sit on the top of a mountain? You eat grass? It's the holiest day of your week. What do? And then we bring out the cholent. And there's nothing more chomristic than beans, potatoes, meat, fat, kishka. And saying, this is your Kedusha? Says Avraham Avinu to Aristotle, yes, this is Kedusha. Because it's from the very, very chomrius itself that we can bring out an even greater light. So, we see the same thing in the Gemara in Erev and Yud Gimel on the base. It says a very strange thing. It says that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel used to have an argument. Many arguments. So why do we go with Halacha Beis Hillel in the majority of cases? First, because the Gemara says a reason, because they had patience. They would be makdim divrei Beis Shammai ledivreihem. They'd always first say Beis Shammai's opinion, and then they'd say theirs, which is very sweet. And I applaud them for that. But here we're talking about trying to find Torah's emes. Here we're trying to get to the truth. So how can you say that you're going to go halacha k'maisa because he opened the door for Beis Shammai first? And when he came out to make his case, he would say, well, Beis Shammai says this, and we say that. We're looking for Teiras Emes. But the answer is that this is Teiras Emes. Because Teiras Emes of Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim is going into that paradoxical logic of understanding that actually, I don't have an opinion without my opponent's opinion. It's only because Beis Shammai have an opinion, says Beis Hillel, that we have an opinion. Beis Shammai used to come in and they'd say their shitta. Comes along Beis Hillel, they'd be magged in Divrei Beis Shammai first. That's Teiras Emes. That's seeing the whole picture. That's the vase with the faces. That's paradoxical logic beyond the either or. It's not when I only am me, if I am me. It's actually I only am me, if I'm not you. And only if you are you can I be me. That's the opposite of Aristotle. Churban is what Aristotle brought to the world. The idea that we could just simply all live in a perfect Aryan race, where we don't need, this is Amalek, this is Churban, this is Haman, this is everything that is the opposite of Yiddishkeit. Is that let's just live on the top of a mountain, never get married, that's Kedusha. Let's just all be one way. That's Sinas Chinam, that's Lashon Hara. A lack of acceptance for the other, says Beis Shammai, says Beis Hillel, will be macked in Divrei Beis Shammai. Yes, they're the complete opposite, but actually, because they're the opposite, that's how we become who we are. On Yom Kippur, which is the day of Kapara, you find a very interesting thing. Zogt Reish Lakish, Gedoyla Tshuva, it's the Gemara in Yom Pei Beis on the base. Reish Lakish says, Gedoyla Tshuva, Shezedoynes Nasaloi Kizchiyus. Tshuva is so great that the Zdoynes turn into Zchuyus. I can understand if someone says sorry, that you may forgive them. But to start saying that your very enemy's actions, or the person who has hurt you, is now a Zchus for you, that's already ludicrous. Chai v'nish livasume, a person has to be on Purim, get drunk to the state, after the yod bin arhorm and baruch mordechai. He has to get drunk to the state of where he starts. He doesn't know the difference between Baruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. He doesn't know either to say Baruch Haman, Baruch Mordechai. Why would you get drunk to that state? Why would there be a mitzvah to start giving a bracha to Haman? Yom Kippur and Purim actually are very, very similar. But Purim takes it one step further. On Yom Kippur, we actually look back on Al Chatoim, and through true teshuva me'ava, we can actually turn our zedonos into zchuyos. How come? Not that this has happened to anyone, but if anyone ever has an argument with their wife, disagreement, shall we say, and they're not on the best of speaking terms for a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, 2 weeks. They're not figured it out. But then after 2 weeks, they come back together again. And they're one, and they're at peace, and there's shalom in the house, and they're happy. At that moment of them coming back together, and I don't know this because I've never experienced this, but at that moment of them coming back together, there's almost a feeling in your head, which is that, wow, we would never have actually achieved this closeness if we wouldn't have had this argument. If you actually have a really, really good fight, there's that feeling of, wow. And I don't advise anyone to say this, but almost you feel like saying, we should do this more often.
Don't worry, it'll come.
There's this feeling of closeness that can be achieved against that backdrop of darkness. That is paradoxical logic. That is Yom Kippur. It's actually a day when we come back close to Hashem. But the more that we realize how far we went, the more it prevents us from going there in the future. In fact, that's the reason why, when someone understands paradoxical logic, that's where Shabbatai Tzvi went off the rails. Because when someone understands this very dangerous idea that actually min ha'or, is that you start thinking, well, maybe we should do this more often. And why don't you? Because then she'll slap you across the face. Why? Because there's enough darkness in our lives that we don't need to go looking for it. In fact, I heard from one of our rabbeim that that's the pshat. And when we say The only person who can't get teshuva is person who says echtev ashuv. Why would a person want to say echtev ashuv? Because he understands the very root of how close he can come to Hashem against the backdrop of chet. So he says, you know what? Echtev ashuv. I'm going to do chet, but ashuv. Can you imagine the closest? Imagine we did this every week. So why ein le kapara? Because we have enough brokenness in our lives, enough darkness, enough challenge, that we don't need to go looking for it. When we go looking for it, that's already a guy that's thinking, okay, I can come back. Echtev ashuv. We can only do teshuva with Hashem's siyata d'shmaya. Don't be so sure that you're going to come back, which is exactly what happened with Shabbatai Tzvi. Says Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch in Parashat Achrimos. He says, on Yom Kippur we bring a Sori La'azazel. What's the Sori La'azazel that we bring on Yom Kippur? Only on Yom Kippur, with that paradoxical mindset, can we actually say, even to the Azazel will bring a korban. Why? Because we actually understand that it was the Satan that helped us get as close to Hashem against that backdrop of chet, that now turns into Zchus. It's only because there was a Satan in our life, because there was a challenge, because there was a darkness, that we found the Yisrin or Erman Achishach, that we found the closeness that we achieved today.
So it seems that everything you said is only b'di'evad. The world doesn't need the darkness, the world doesn't want the darkness. The Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't want the darkness. It happens that the contrast comes afterwards if we do tshuva, if we make up. It's all b'di'evad. You don't need darkness to show nice, it just happens. That's an atzius because we all fail from time to time. But the darkness isn't a necessity.
If darkness wasn't a necessity and it wasn't the Rebbeinu Shalom's rotzen that there should be challenge, then surely he would have made us shleimim v'tmimim.
He knew that it was inevitable that people would do aveiros. He knew that. But the Ratzon Hashem is there shouldn't be darkness.
Right. The Ratzon Hashem is that we should be in a massive tshuva the whole time.
The world would be a perfect place and people would do the right things. And you don't need darkness as a premise for light. You don't need it. It's an inevitable consequence of man doing wrong.
So
he acts the horror is there, so he knows what to do right.
Right. So what you're telling me is that what Shlomo HaMelech says, she is Yisroel min ha'or min ha'cheshech, you're taking issue with.
I'm not saying it's what I'm just quoting what Shlomo Melech is saying.
I just want to understand what you're.
Well, I don't know what Shlomo Melech meant by that.
Rav Chiya seems to understand that mahalach.
The world should have darkness in it. That's b'di'evad. That's when things go wrong, when man fails.
100%. But the question is, what Rav Chiya is saying. What Rav Chiya is saying is that actually, in a paradoxical way, it doesn't mean you have to choose the darkness. But if you didn't have the opportunity for darkness, then you would never be able to be choosing light. Of course, we are in a situation, we don't have to go and engage in our virus in order to come back. But we do need to have the opportunity to be able to be called Bechira.
There has to be the possibility of darkness.
Right.
There doesn't have to be the existence of darkness.
The possibility of darkness means that you can engage in it, which means that it has to exist. If it doesn't exist, then you can't engage in it.
As an unwanted option.
As an unwanted option, of course. That's what Shabbatai Tzvi says. Echdev Oshuv, I'm going to dafka go and take it. We don't go and look for it. But ultimately, without that option of Bechira, being able to engage in darkness which exists, says Rav Chiya and Shlomo HaMelech, you would not be able to choose right. That means the only ability that we have to choose right from wrong is that actually because we can choose darkness. Says Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch that we bring this Sori La'azazel because we understand without our Yitzhahara, without that ability to choose wrong, we would actually never have achieved this closeness that we have in Hashem. That's the tachlis of the Bria. The tachlis of the Bria is that we should be able to be Boicher B'Toiv only because we have Ra. So Aristotle would say, let there just be Toiv. Don't even have the opportunity to be able to have Chet. Don't even have the opportunity to turn to the right. Just be able to turn to the left, or just turn to the left, not to the right. Says Shlomo HaMelech, no. Without the opportunity of turning to the right, you could not turn left. That's what Bechira is. That's what Avraham Avinu brought to the world. That's why on Purim, we say Baruch Haman. Why? Because the level now, when we look with 20/20 vision at Purim, would we have wished that the Klal Yisrael would have been under that threat? Well, when we were standing there, absolutely not. But on Purim, like a day of Yom Kippurim, On Yom Kippur, we look back at our chit and we understand how that opportunity for darkness brought us closer to greater tshuva, how those adonos came into tshuyas. On Purim, it's the same thing. Purim is also a day of paradoxical logic. Purim is a day when we look at Haman and we say, we were makan tshuva me'ava, we were kabbal the Torah me'ava. We were waiting for this moment from the time of Har Sinai to makabal the Torah me'ava. Would that have happened without Haman? Would that have happened without the tapas of Haman? And the answer is, with 20-20 vision, it would never have happened.
Why not? Why not?
The Gemara says that what the tabas of Haman achieved, all the Nevi'im weren't able to achieve. Okay, so what I believe in is that it was supposed to happen, but maybe you don't believe in the same emunah. So, how do you explain Baruch Haman? How do you explain the Atta Layada? Okay. So, that means the Rabbeinu Shlomo didn't... it's a fair point, and look, his point is that the Rabbeinu Shlomo didn't really want Purim to happen. It ended up happening. I'm saying Samahalach. Samahalach.
It's a bit like his anti-Semitism good for us.
Right. So just, we've got time, we can discuss this afterwards, but I think that the Chayr, what the Gemara is saying is that the Tabas of Haman did achieve something that the Nevi'im weren't able to achieve. So looking back with the 20 vision, maybe you could disagree. There's other people which disagree with Shlomo Melech and you could disagree. I'm just telling you what the Gemara says, right? So in that case, says the Gemara, Chayav Inish Livasume, a person has to celebrate on Purim, because with 20-20 vision, not when we engage in our lives, when we go forwards in our lives, we don't need to go looking for the Haman in our lives. But now that we've got that Haman in our lives, when we look back and we see what it helped us achieve, then we actually, with paradoxical logic, say, Baruch Haman. The Maisa was just at a shiva, a few weeks ago, one of the Rabbonim here in town, and his mother had passed away, and she lived here in England during the war. And there were bombings, and they hid under the tables and everything else. And he said to me, and there was someone else discussing who remembered his mother, and he said, you know what? She always used to think of the war years as the best years in her life. I said, what do you mean? Why were the war years, when you're hiding under the dining room table, why were those the best years? She said, when you would walk the streets in England here between 1939 and 1945, the sense of achdus, the sense of community, the sense of everyone was in this together, she never experienced again. I couldn't say that because I didn't live during the war years. But if someone would have asked her before the war years, would you like the war years in your life? She'd actually say, of course not. The idea of Baruch Haman, the idea of Yom Kippur, the idea of Purim, is actually that with 20-20 vision, those war years can become the best years of your life. Says the Arizal, these 21 days that exist between Shivas of Tammuz and the 9th of Av correspond to the 21 days that exist between Rosh Hashanah and Simchas Torah. Because rather than take a deep breath and wait for them to pass, actually the Churban itself, from within the ashes of the Churban itself, we can find the light of Geula. Understanding Aristotle's version of events, we should say, let's look at Churban, take a deep breath, hope that it goes, because who needs Churban for Geula? But what Chazal say is, Kolam Yis'abul B'Yerush Al Yerushalayim, Zoycha V'Roy B'Simchoso. According to this deeper understanding, it is through the Avelos, through the fact that you can be Mis'abul, it's not a reward, therefore you'll be Zoycha V'Roy B'Simchoso. But someone who can truly feel the pain of when he doesn't have something, then he'll be able to be Zoycha V'Roy B'Simchoso, then he'll be able to be Simcha, because to the exact degree that you can feel that evil, that is the degree that you'll be able to feel the Simcha. Aristotle would say, just have Simcha. We say, no, if you don't have the opportunity for Avedus, if you can't take the opportunity of those war years, if we can't club together during these three weeks, and be Metzaken against that Bakhtar Chorban, club together, and feel Avas Chinam, Loshin Toiv, and feel against those challenges, how we can come back together, then we'll be living on that level of Kolam HaSabal Yerushalayim, Zoycha V'Roy B'Simchoso. That's what the 3 weeks are here for. Those are the 3 weeks of closeness, of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, those paradoxical weeks of where we engage and understand how the chait turns us into Zedonos Nazlek Ezruyas. That's what Purim is about. That's the Baruch Haman. And that's what Tisha B'Av is about. That's why Korelai Moed, because on Tisha B'Av, when we see how tragedy after tragedy throughout thousands of years has happened during this time, we realize, you know what, there's something here that we can be mesakel. There's something here that against this backdrop, against this Hurban, there's something that we can light a candle in. If we would light a candle in this bright room, how bright would it be? But against the backdrop of Hurban, if we can bring an air of Avas Chinam, in against all that darkness, if we can light one candle, in the 21st century, with all the challenges that we all have, if we can just light one flame, how bright can that be? And through that will be Zoicha to Kalamis Abel, Tura Velus, Kalamis Abel Yerushalayim, will automatically be Zoicha Rebbe Simchasa. Thank you for inviting me.